Hey guys, and welcome to the Gospel and Love podcast. I am Abigail May, and today I'm going to be giving you guys a devotional, and it's going to be all about idols, okay? We're going to talk about what an idol is, how to know whether or not something is becoming an idol, and what to do if you recognize that something is an idol. I am not Alyssa, I'm Abigail, but I feel very honored to be able to give a devotional to you guys on her podcast. So let's get started into this thing. So the first thing that we are going to do is read Exodus 20 verses 3 through 6. So grab your Bibles and let's read, or whether or not you want to listen, that is perfectly okay. I'm reading from an NLT Bible right now. So let's read. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for a thousand generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Okay, did you hear that? That was so cool. That was just one of the Ten Commandments. So three words came to me. When you hear the word idol, you hear usually bow down, serve, and worship. So what do these three words mean? You know, we usually skim by them having an idea of what they mean, but I kind of really want to dive deep into really what does bow down, what does serve, and what does worship mean. So bow down is really allowing the person slash object to have control over you. If you think about it, when a person bows down to the king, their head is faced towards the floor, kind of like they can't see what's going to happen, and it gives the king or the queen complete control over the person. Then we have serve, which when you serve someone, you kind of like give them what they desire, you give them what they want. So it's catering to every need and desire. And then we have the word worship. So we have meaning like give praise and glory. When you worship to the Lord, you have like shouts of acclamation within the church. You're singing and you're praising God for everything. And I just think that is beautiful. But with that in mind, let's look at some practical Old Testament examples of an idol. First, let's look at Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 10. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 10, it says this: When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lamb from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, Let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, Where is your brother? Where is Abel? I don't know, Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian? But the Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. That is so powerful. That is very powerful. So in this passage, we read that there's no physical idol. There was a spiritual welfare idol. And what is that spiritual welfare idol? Well, let's read verse 7, which says this. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. So this word control kind of reminds me of the word bow down or to serve. You are catering to its every desire, okay? And the Lord says to Cain, he says, you know, sin is crouching at your door. It wants to control you. And Cain eventually killed Abel, and he bowed down. He served that envy. He served that the sin. He served sin. And it took control not only over his mind till he became jealous and envious and filled with rage, but it also took over his physical body to the point where he physically killed his brother. So sin controlled, or he allowed sin to become this idol. He allowed this jealousy and envy to become an idol in his life, and he bowed down to it and he served it. So the next practical example in the Old Testament is a golden calf in Exodus 32, verse 1 through 6. So let's go there now. So this is Exodus 32, verse 1 through 6, which says, "When the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. 'Come on,' they said, 'make us some gods who can lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt.' So Aaron said, 'Take the gold rings from the ears of your wives and sons and daughters and bring them to me.' All the people took gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. Then Aaron took the gold, melted it down, and molded it into the shape of a calf. When the people saw it, they exclaimed, 'O Israel, these are the gods who brought us out of the land of Egypt.' Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf, and he announced, 'Tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord.' The people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. After this, they celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry." So we can see from this that the people created a physical item kind of out of boredom. They're like, Moses is up on this mountain. We have no leader. We don't know what to do. So let's just create a calf. So they were not patient. They were anxious and unsure about who was going to lead them. And they were afraid of having no control over what was happening down in the camp. And that can often happen sometimes when we feel we have no control, or when we want to take control of something. Sometimes we will create an idol so we feel like we have control. So I also want to take a look at some New Testament examples, because I think it's very important to see the progression of things throughout the Bible and to recognize that things are constant and consistent. So we, in this New Testament, we're in this new progressive Greek culture. And so we're going to read in Hebrews 3, 5 through 6, which says this: "Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself. Remember those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, 'I will never fail you. I will never abandon you.' So we can say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?'" So from this, we can also gather that money can become an idol out of this place of fear that maybe you won't have enough money, or maybe you just continually get money and you love it so much and it becomes greedy. But there essentially is this attachment to things when we fear that things are going to happen, or when we feel like we won't have any control, or when we become envious or impatient. We feel like we need to cling on to something, that it will protect us, that it will give us some sort of feeling of control. And in this instance in Hebrew, the writer is saying, don't cling to money. Don't cling to these physical things. They'll do nothing for you. You're just doing it out of fear. But they want you to cling to God. Let's read in Colossians 3:5 says this: "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. So as this verse has pointed out, an idolater is a person who worships the things of this world, who maybe worships money, worships fame, just worships things that are created within this world. So all of these are idols. Why? Because they serve the same master, and that master is sin. And when you allow it to take control over you, you are bowing down, you are serving that master. But in other senses, there's idolatry where you just want to attain more and more and more things because you think that it will make you better than other people or will make you more valuable. But I want you to know that our value, our love comes from God, our value comes from God, our worth comes from God. It's not the things that we attain in this world. Remember, the Lord says, lay up your treasures in heaven. To me, I think that means your earthly treasure, the things you buy here do not matter, but the things that you do for Christ and for his kingdom matter. Those are the treasures that should be laid up in heaven, not the things that you buy here that become idolatry, okay? So what is a practical 21st century idol? Well, money can still be an idol. That is a thing. Money can still be an idol. You can never be content and always wanting a new thing. That's how money can be an idol. It can also be out of a fear that you won't be provided for. Out of a fear that you won't be provided for, or you won't ever have enough. What else can be an idol? Technology. And I know, oh my gosh, I know so many people, and myself included, who when they hear this, they just roll their eyes. And I really want us to take this seriously and think, is technology, TV, social media, movies, etc., an idol? For me, I have to say, yes, it is. You know, I have to be very careful how much I watch, because sometimes I can just get so sucked into things that just time flies. And that much time I could have been spending in the Word, or I could have been praying, or I could have been using it productively. So technology can be an idol, and that's something that we truly have to watch for. So how can technology be an idol? Well, obviously you can watch too much that it distracts you from the presence of God, or you can just be watching inappropriate things that you know for a fact God would not want you to watch. And I know we all have done that, and I know that this world is so filled with sin, and TV shows, you know, especially kind of portray that, but it's so important that we watch things that are appropriate and that we know God would want us to watch. The next thing is social media. You can become an idol to social media by feeling like you need to bow down to it, serve it, and worship it. So how is this? Well, you can feel this need to constantly have to post pictures. You can feel this need of constantly having to tell everyone of what you're doing at every second of the day. You might feel the need to constantly tell people what you have recently bought. And trust me, I fall into this a lot. But that's one way that social media can be an idol. Another way is this feeling of FOMO. It can take over you and control you. And that's another thing, what is something, in a side effect, I should say, that can happen when on social media, is this feeling that you know, you're not as good as other people because, you know, they're out doing all these awesome things, which is so not true. Because what happens is there's no contentment at where God has you. Okay, I fall into this sometimes. I'll see other people and I'm like, whoa, they're like way more spiritual than me. They're doing way more for God than I am. Like, I am like worthless. I'm not doing anything. What the heck? I need to be doing more. And that's a trap that we can fall into that we shouldn't. The next thing is just wasting time on socials. Okay, it becomes idleness, and idleness is a sin. Idleness is being lazy on purpose. So that is a sin. And yes, we all have done this, but it really should stop. You know, I fall into this trap where I'm just scrolling on my phone, and that's idleness. You know, I could really be spending my time reading a book, or, you know, talking to God, or reading his word. So when it comes to sin, it's important that we don't downplay it. I think this is something that I've noticed a lot, is that people are like, oh yeah, I did this, but that's okay. Like, you know, there's a verse in the Bible, I don't remember where it's from, I'm pretty sure it's in Romans, but it says that, do we sin all the more that grace abounds? No. We stop our sinning. We stop this because we know that God gave his life freely for us. He gave us this grace freely. So we don't want to abuse God's grace. So especially in idolatry, because it can come from a place of lack of trust or a fear that we are not able to control our every situation. And you know, I need to tell you something. It's okay. We can't control every situation. That is okay. We're not supposed to be able to control every situation. We are supposed to surrender everything to Christ. So we really need to check our hearts and minds and ask ourselves what we are idolizing. Excuse me, I can't speak today. Is it money? Is it that model on Instagram? Is it Instagram? TikTok? Because for me it was TikTok. I had to get rid of that. Or maybe actually creating an idol out of clay. I don't know. So, if you're finding yourself idolizing something, I think it's best to really ask someone that you trust who loves the Lord and is devoted to the Lord just as much as you want to be and you are working at, just as I am, to keep you accountable to the Lord. I think that is so important. I think sometimes our culture might be afraid of accountability, but I think it's such a beautiful thing and such a needed thing. So why don't we pray right now? So bow your heads and close your eyes and get in a posture for the Lord that shows him that you are open to hearing his voice and that you want to welcome him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much that Alyssa wanted me on her podcast. I think that's awesome. But Father, I just pray for the people listening right now. I pray that you will be with their hearts and their minds. I will pray that they will have a clear conscience. And I pray that if they are struggling with idolatry, that you will help them, that you will let them know that you want to help them. Father, I pray that they will acknowledge that idolatry is a sin, and I pray that they will want to and willingly move forward out of this. Father, I thank you so much for this podcast. I thank you so much for your word. We love you and we praise you and we worship you only, Father. Amen. Well, I'm so glad and so honored that I was able to share with you guys this devotional, and I hope it gets carried in your heart for a very long time. And I just pray that you guys have a great and awesome day, and I might see you later. Who knows? Bye.